The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward. The story I just read, did anybody hear it? It's probably a little familiar, about a man who was hurt on a road, and 2 people passed by, and 1 person stopped. Well, he told that story because he was asked, "Who is a neighbor?" So who do you think is a neighbor? Do you have any neighbors? Yeah? Do you know them? Okay, so you have a neighbor named Olivia?
And Noah.
And Noah, or Nora? Nora, okay. And are they your friends?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's nice to have friends right in your neighborhood. Okay. Anybody else have neighbors or friends they like? Yeah? Good. Well, in Jesus' story, he kind of surprises the people because they thought the first 2 people would be a friend who would help. Would you help your friends if they were hurt? Yeah, I think you would. And the 3rd person, so 2 people passed by, and then Jesus says a Samaritan is the one who stopped. Now, that surprised the people. They thought he was going to say an Israelite because that's what they were called. Be like saying an American or a Coloradoan. They thought he was going to say Israelite, and he didn't. He said Samaritan, who was not their neighbors, and they didn't know Samaritans, and they actually thought they were very bad people, and they didn't want them around. But that was the person that stopped to help. So Jesus is trying to get us to think about other people that even we don't know, or maybe that we don't get along with, are still a part of who we are as a community. Now, I have these fun little kits that you can put together, and let's see what's in each one. This is our Good Samaritan First Aid Kit. So let's see here. What is that? Can you tell? It's a little heart sticker. And this heart is for filling with God's love. Do you think we can help share God's love with other people? Okay, then let's see what comes out next. Here's an eraser. Ooh, what do erasers do?
Erase.
Yeah, they erase drawings, or like if you have a mistake, maybe. Yeah, and so that's kind of like helping us learn to forgive, right? To have forgiveness. Okay, what's this?
A candle.
It is. It's a candle, and this is about, what do you usually do with a candle? You light it, yeah, and it has fire on it, right? So that's for sharing our light. Yes, a lot of times for birthdays. This is like a birthday one. And letting your light shine, right? Okay, there's just a couple more things. Here's a crayon. What do you do with a crayon?
Draw.
You draw. Yeah, in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, God has made everything beautiful. So this is for making a beautiful, beautiful world, right? And then we have a lifesaver. What do you think that's about? Yeah, you're right. It's not good for your body. It's candy. But you know what a lifesaver is? This is a candy. But on a boat, they throw out a lifesaver if somebody's in the water. And that would save them, right? Yeah. So it's supposed to remind us of helping others. But you're right. It's sugar. It's just sugar. Okay. Now, there's one more thing I have. One more thing. And that is, what is this? A Band-Aid, and it's not just any Band-Aid. This is a Jesus Band-Aid, okay? So you all can get a Band-Aid that helps pray to Jesus and have healing in God, okay? So there's a Band-Aid for each of you. And in sacred space time, you can go back and you can make your own little Good Samaritan kit, okay? I'm also going to hand you a paper bag that if you want to color that while you wait to go to sacred space, you can do that too. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you for all the reminders of how we show your love and how your love fills us up. Amen. All right, thank you. And here's a... Andrew, you want to help them take a paper bag? And you can have a paper bag and then fill them up. She needed a Band-Aid on her head, huh? That's right. I already have some bruises. So you can go back to your seats or back to the nursery. Thank you. The other supplies are back at that table, so you can go out there during sacred space. All right, so last week, I spent just a couple of days in Minnesota, and it was particularly humid. And it was the kind of humid weather where I feel we Coloradoans in particular just need to complain about it a little bit. We can cope. Right? So I was complaining about it, and my friend, and I was remembering Oregon, when I lived in Oregon, and there were two seasons, the rainy season and the not as rainy season, but it was great because it was kind of the same temperature all the time. And then my friend who lives in Minnesota, she said, well, here we just have winter and construction. And I said, well, at least you have winter in Colorado. We just get construction all year long. And construction, actually, when we're talking about signs, right, these themes of signs and all these different signs throughout the summer, I think construction signs are the ones that probably make me feel the most impatient. I'm one of those people who thinks I can leave late and still get somewhere on time. And construction signs are very good at ending my delusion of that. But especially those ones, I live in Wellington, and up north right now, there's a lot of like, slow down, and we're going to double the fines if you speed up. And there's a few orange cones, and nothing is happening. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's just, nothing is happening. But it's still like this big slowdown, and it takes me off course, and I've even had to do a few detours lately. And then the train comes, and then you can't get to your destination at all. And so I don't think I'm alone on this. I think when we are driving, when we're on the roads, we are often very destination-focused, right? We want to get to that place where we had planned to stop, where we had planned to have that time of slowing down. And those things like detours and unexpected stops are kind of a big annoyance or maybe a big game changer in what we were planning to do that day. And I don't think it's just the way of roads, though, where we get blinded by the idea of a destination. The key question that sparks Jesus telling us a parable today is one of destination. It's the lawyer wanting to know the quickest way to get there. He's testing Jesus. He's an antagonist in this story. And he says, first, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Or what is my direct route to be right with God? Or how can I get this checked off my list so I can move on? Well, Jesus goes ahead and engages with this man, engages this conversation, and he says, well, you're the lawyer, so what does the law say? You tell me. And the lawyer pushes further. He says, yes, the law tells us you love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then let's end this loophole or detour. He pushes and asks, but who is my neighbor? Well, instead of a nice, easy list or a simple answer, Jesus gives him a story, gives us a story about a road. Now, this particular road where this story takes place is the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it's not a road that has any type of nice, pretty destination. It's not like wanting to drive up in the mountains and take a nice scenic route. This road was very rocky. It was 18 miles long. It started in Jerusalem at about 2,500 feet above sea level and ended in Jericho at 825 feet below sea level. And this was a dangerous road as well. It was referred to as the Bloody Way. It wasn't a place you wanted to be hanging out on. It was the same road that David took to try to get away from the armies that his son was sending after him. This road was known not to be easy, not to be welcoming, and it was not a road to pause on. It was not a road to slow down on. It was not a road to stop. It was just a place to be focused on getting to your destination. But it is on this road that we have a parable, Jesus, that beckons us to slow down, to watch, to pay attention to the answer of who is our neighbor and who are the children of God for us to watch for on our own roads. The word parable, it comes from two Greek words put together. The first one is para, which is like parallel, or side by side, next to each other. And the other one is balo, which means to throw or cast. So a parable is throwing or casting two images side by side. And when we're talking about scripture, it's putting scripture and our own lives next to each other and seeing how they are side by side. Now, this particular parable is one that we're familiar with, not just if we've shown up in worship or studied scripture, but it has become a commonplace story in our culture. Presidents have used it in inaugural speeches. Martin Luther King Jr. used it as a focal point for talking about justice. We have nursing homes and retirement centers and hospitals and care centers that are named Good Samaritan for this story. So it's a story that we become familiar with, but it's also a story we need to continue to hear, to slow down and listen to it again and again with new ears, watching for the places on the road where God is calling us to hear. So last month, I was on a service trip in El Paso. It was a service and immersion trip with our high school youth. And we spent our mornings leading a vacation Bible school at a church that was very excited to have our youth leadership, and they really know how to run vacation Bible school. And a part of the theme of each day was watch for God. And we would ask the children to think about places where they had seen God the day before or might see God that day. So watch for God in creation, watch for God at home or with friends or at the pool in big ways and in small ways. Now this watch for God also became our mantra and our reflection piece in our afternoons and our evenings where we spent learning and being immersed in what life is like on the border. We spent time learning about and being with people who work in areas of immigration, assisting refugees, and humanitarian aid. We also met with Border Patrol and immigration lawyers and got many sides of the story and of the happenings on the border. When we slowed down a lot, and we spent long times listening to people's stories of long, hard roads, and some ended in triumph, and some were still walking those difficult roads. One of the most impactful times was when we served and we had dinner with a group of refugees, a group of people who are seeking asylum, and actually they are people who have a family member in the United States sponsoring them. So they had just been released from processing centers where they had experience being in very small places with a lot of people. They were all women between the ages of 17 and 20, so they really weren't, they were the same age or just a little bit older than the youth that were with us. And we sat at tables with them, and they had arrived at a house called Annunciation House, where they're, so Border Patrol, when they release people, sometimes they'll take them to a place like this and drop them off. Sometimes they're just kind of let go to find a place. But they had been brought here, and the volunteers greet them, and they say the first thing they do is give them food, and then a shower, and a change of clothes, and then they're able to sit and start to feel more comfortable, and they help them make the phone calls to the people who are going to help, who are going to get them a bus or a plane ticket or come pick them up to bring them to live with them. So we were there one evening and got to speak with these young women, and of course they didn't no English, and we do have students learning Spanish, and so they connected through hand gestures, and our youth were very courageous to speak Spanish and to try out communicating. And as we listened to their stories, and as we realized how very different their lives are from our own, we also were able to make that true, open, human connection, to be able to sit in that presence and let God and the Holy Spirit be there and guide our connections of openness and even joy. To stop and sit on someone else's road is a gift, and it is a way to watch for God and allow the Holy Spirit to rest. Jesus' answer to the lawyer was to place him on the road in the parable and to open up some detours of compassion and mercy that were not easy answers or quick fixes, but a call to engage in community, to engage in the life of faith, not as a check mark on a list, but as a way of walking with God through life. Two people passed by the hurt man in the parable, not because they were in a hurry, or really not even because there was some kind of purity law they had to follow, and not because they didn't see, but because they were afraid. afraid to take that step of faith. So the answer of what to do and to whom this doing should occur is not an answer that takes us on a straight path to one destination, but instead invites us on many roads where we are uncomfortable, where we don't know everything, where we are invited to be into another's story, their full story, the joys and the suffering, and we are invited to not only watch for, but to be changed by the experience. Taking the time to pause in El Paso, to really hear the issues and complications of immigration and border crossings, to meet real life people from all sides and walks of life, and to get to know them as neighbor, was a road experience that opens up new ways of knowing God and knowing our call from God on new roads. Jesus' parable is not about one injured man or one person who acted as a good neighbor. Jesus' parables are meant to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable on all kinds of roads. Jesus beckons us to slow down, to watch for those signs, to pay attention to the neighbors around us and to what roads we are invited to walk on, even if it's just for a little while, even if it's just for a simple dinner conversation, even we are afraid or where we don't know where this road is going. What are the roads that have shown you God? Where are the slow down places that you might be called to today or tomorrow or in the coming months and years? Where are the paths that are leading you into the gift of compassion and mercy so that you can know the love of God and then bring it onto those roads that you encounter? This is a sign that is constantly in front of us. The sign to slow down and watch for God and be open to the Holy Spirit leading us and changing us. So may your eyes and ears be open to the sights and sounds of God and your hearts be filled with the knowledge that God fills you and surrounds you. Amen.